Thanks for joining us today to hear our latest Hope Central podcast. We trust this message will help you know more about Jesus and inspire you to be more like him.
Today, though, we're going to get into the Word because things have not changed. Things are now deeply the same. And this is what I was thinking. It's been 3 months. It's 3 months of doing something that was unusual. Now, it's not unusual. It's the same. And that provokes a different kind of response in our hearts. We're no longer just kind of going, oh, this is different, but I'll put up with it. This is different, but it's only for a little while. This is different, so I won't mourn the loss. Now it's 3 months. Now you can be sad. Now you can recognize that it is different. And guess what? You're different. I know all these things have been happening out there, but it's produced a difference in your responses, your thinking, your habits, your way of life, your kids. All of this stuff is now part of us. And so I wanted to preach today about I shall not want. I shall not want is obviously the first line, the first sort of outcome that happens in the great Psalm of the Shepherd. If the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But if you're part of the Western world, you have been trained from childhood to want. You want more of this, more of that. You've got all kinds of urges. And if you didn't have the urge, well, there will be advertising in 20 seconds to give you an urge, something to provoke you, something to put in front of your eyes so that you get stirred up so that the thing that's now in your life is no longer okay. You're no longer settled. You're no longer at peace, but you want. And the prime thing that's happening right now is that the change that's happened in our lives has opened up new wants. Some of those wants you've been holding off, expecting that they'll finally be fulfilled when the future changes. But now you're recognizing it. And here's the problem. When we develop wants in our lives, we start to reach for control. We want to, with our own human powers, solve our wants. But David doesn't. In fact, Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. One of the biggest outcomes of the presence of God in our lives is that the presence of God trumps our wants, or the presence of God cures our wants, or the presence of God is greater than our wants. If God is there, what do our wants mean? And if God is there, then how can our wants be satisfied? If God is present, then we can recognize that that great shepherd, that great caretaker of humanity, of my life, is going to take care of my need. And David knew that. And that put David in a place of confidence that other people, well, they just didn't know. You see, everybody has wants. What do you want? We've been babysitting our granddaughter. We're just one day a week, you know, as my daughter goes back to work. So we put up our hands for a day of hard labor, of the most intense hard work that I do all week. As this little tiny baby is filled with needs, wants that are right there on the surface. She doesn't negotiate. She just cries. She has these strong urges. Am I bored? Wah! Am I hungry? Wah! Am I didn't change it? Wah! Like all of these things provoke a. She's even got a very subtle, we're learning the language, just a low-level moan. Eh. And you know it's going to build. Maybe your life's like that. Maybe you got those full-on screaming tantrums, but you've also got this low-level going on in your life where you're just like, maybe you don't even know what you want. Maybe you just know that there's a gap. You see, the chaos that the Bible describes when we self-shepherd, when we do the work of getting, is where we end up leading ourselves into all kinds of problems. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, when the woman gives in to the logic of Satan, when Adam and Eve are deceived that it's God won't help me, so I need to help myself. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, so there's one of my needs. It was a delight to the eyes, another one of my needs. And that the tree was desired to make one wise, another want, another need. All of these things good. And she took the fruit and ate and gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. You see, it's It all unravels when we as people, because of our great desire for other, we reach out, we take control, when we grab at it ourselves, and we self-shepherds our lives. That's when the relationship with God explodes. That's when the decay happens. That's when the pain emerges. That's when the sin grows. And the disconnect from God is a giant chasm. Self-shepherding leads us into chaos. So, what are our wants? What do we need? I've just been thinking, there's so many things I could put up. One of the things that we really need is security or safety. The picture that I've given you here is a picture I took walking through the market in the Philippines, in the city of Cebu. As we're going along, there's this little boy, and he's just sitting. It's a hot, humid day, so he's sitting in a tub of water while his parents obviously run some kind of banana store. They are providing a huge amount of bananas to the community, and the kid is at work with mom and dad, but the kid's just sitting in that tub of water, having a great time, enjoying it. When I saw that, I immediately felt sorry. Poor kid at work with his family. Oh, this is such a hard thing. He's got nothing but a bucket of water to sit in. But he doesn't know that. He thinks he's doing great. He's got food. He's got clothing. He's got shelter. He's got mom and dad. Somebody love him. Probably got grandparents around too. He thinks his security and his safety is fine. He is so content. He's sitting in that bucket of water on a hot day. But you know what? Sometimes our ideas of what physically we need around us, right now in a time like coronavirus, we're kind of exposed. Our physical needs are kind of at threat. We kind of feel like there's this high level of unknown that's right on the edge. Is the economy going to collapse? Is what's going to happen to my job? What's going to happen with my health? What's going to happen with the people around me? What am I going to do? And our sense of security and safety, our need to be okay, we forget God is our shepherd and he's going to provide, and we start to reach for our own needs to be met. But it's not just that. We also have great needs to feel special, to be loved. In fact, I think this is one of the things about millennials that is maybe kind of new to the world. There's just such a massive need to be a unique person, to self-define or to really know that I'm an original, I'm special, I am important in some unique way that makes me me. And so we try to customize our lives. We like this, we don't like that, we like to wear this, we like to look like this, we identify as this, we're not that. And we try to create an image of ourselves. Why? Because it's all up to this great, great, deep, deep need to be special and to be loved. I took this photo at my daughter Charlotte's graduation from university. There were about, 500, 600 graduates in this room. As parents, we were at the back of this massive auditorium. I had to zoom my camera way in to see Charlotte in this crowd of identicals. Same hat, same gown. And I was waiting for the moment where she would turn around, and I took this photo. She's the only face. And everybody likes to feel like they're that face. But you see, in a moment like this, we start to feel like, how am I special? What about the people in my life that make me feel special? And if anybody's threatening my specialness, people will do almost anything to re-secure that. When you're not feeling loved, when you're not feeling important or significant, what do you do to solve that problem yourself? We also need to be content and happy. You know, some people have these sort of ideas about what will make me happy. I took this photo when Adolf and Deanne got married here from our Elizabeth Church. And as they danced their way into their reception, I took this photo of these people are just so happy. In many ways, this is something that their hearts have longed for, and they just felt so content. And if you've ever been married, you remember that sort of the expectation that this is what you've wanted and you're just loving this. But every single person who's ever gotten married knows that the level of contentedness drops off. As our kind of, that's what I always thought would make me happy. But that I felt so content, and people work and spend so much money and time to be content, but it just doesn't stick. Are you content with your job, content with your life? Are you content with your friends? Are you content with the people around you? What have you got? And if you're not feeling happy, people will spend billions of dollars to try to feel more content. What about meaning or purpose? Everybody has this deep sense of eternity inside them, and they can think to themselves, why am I here? Look, what reason was I made? Surely getting up and going through these things and going through the suffering and going through this career or this education or this job or going through all these trials has got to have some kind of purpose, some kind of meaning. And without that sense of meaning, without that sense of there's a reason behind all of this, that we start to wind up or we start to reach out. Why do I bother? Almost never does that result in people doing less. It always results in them doing more because they're trying to fulfill that sense of meaning. I got to climb that. I got to do that. I've got to go there. I've got to buy that. I've got to experience that because there's got to be a meaning here. And the last one I put down for today is we all have a need to be respected or esteemed. One of the things about these different things is that maybe one of these things stands out to you more than others. Maybe your, you know, physical security and safety is actually a primary thing to you, and that whole idea of respect and esteem, well, that's not as significant. But I took this photo of a couple of our brothers in church here that came on one of our trips to Papua New Guinea, two massively skilled men that have got incredible welding, fabrication, manufacturing, engineering skills. And Paul and Dean built this truck that could be used to educate the people from the impoverished community around Port Moresby. And as they're doing in these things, solving these things, the Papua New Guineans, in fact, everybody that was seeing them at work were just like, oh, wow, you guys are like geniuses. You can take raw nothing and make it into these things, and you can do it with almost no tools. And I respected them. But you see, I'm a man who likes respect as well. In fact, one of the reasons why I put this up is because I want to tell you this story, and it's an embarrassing story about me. I'm telling you this because this is what happened to me when my respect, my need to be respect, wasn't being satisfied, and things got ugly. So what happened is last summer, we typically take a vacation down to Robe. And on the vacation, one of the vacation items to do, because of where Robe is, and because many of us have four-wheel drives, is we like to hit the sand tracks and get out there and do a bit of off-roading and adventure. So we get there, and we all unpack, and then first things first, you know, got to have a four-wheel drive track. So all of the people get together, and they all plow down to this road, and they ended up going out on a beach that we never go out on because the sand is too soft for our kind of cars. We got out there, and my car got stuck. I hate being the guy that gets stuck. I love being the guy that pulls the other stuck people out. I hate to be the guy in this. And everyone had to get out and they had to get the shovels and they're all digging me out. And I'm like, digging like that. And then we finally pull them on. I have other vehicles pull me out. And then we had to race off to this next place where, because I'd let my tires down so much, the tire came off the bead and went flat and got sand inside the tire. So then I had to stop the entire trip again while everyone helped me change my tire. The whole time this is happening, I'm feeling like less of a man, less of a me, less of a Joe who helps everyone else out, and a Joe who is having other people have to do things for me. And I started to get angry. I got grumpy. I left the trip. Everyone else kept going. I went back, and now I've got to take care of. I've only got one tire, blah, 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 blah. But I was just grumpy. I was angry because my need to be respected was threatened. And I got ugly. And I was thinking about it later. I was thinking, man, I got ugly quick. When I didn't get what I needed, I in my mind turned against other people and made them the enemies of my need? It's your fault that I'm like this? And I was thinking, that's so unfair. That's just nobody's fault. But this ugly side of me, because we all have a need for something, and for me to be esteemed is really, really valuable when it was under threat. Well, let's just say the Lord wasn't my shepherd in that moment. So your human needs, your security, being special and loved, your contentedness, your happiness, your meaning, your purpose, your respect. Right now in this moment, there's gaps opening up in some area of your life. And what are you going to do? Are you going to reach for it yourself? Or you see, the other thing is that we sometimes try to control our desire, human-based control. I shouldn't want. What's the matter with me? Like Paul says in Romans chapter 7, sort of the one command that he found he could never keep was, he says, what shall we then say? That the law is sin? By no means. If it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin, for I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. See, I only have to say to some people, good-hearted, knowledgeable, noble people, you shouldn't be driven by your wants. And when you try to control your wants with yourself because you're doing it because you should, the law is at work in you. And what the law reveals is not that you can keep the law. The law always reveals that you can't. The law's purpose is to show that we are not in our deepest spirits, our souls, our nature. We are not the good guys. We are dependent on goodness being given to us. We're dependent on God through Christ to change us. So don't hear me say, well, Pastor Joe said, you shouldn't want, you better stop wanting. No. We don't cure things by our own human efforts. Faith is the other way revealed in Christ. You see, we've been talking over the last several weeks about what faith truly is, and faith is a conviction of the heart based on a promise or a testimony of God. It's what happens in us in response to what God says or what God does. When we hear about the goodness of God, when we hear about the shepherding ability of God, when we hear about his promise to protect, to provide, to keep us, that's the faith response. The saying, the righteous shall live by faith, comes from Habakkuk 2:4. Says, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. You see, he draws the contrast. He says, if it's about you, it's about your power, then you're puffing yourself up, saying, look at me. I can make meaning out of my life. I can make myself loved. I can make myself respected. I can. You see, that is the way of human inflated ego. But the scripture says the righteous is going to get their life from their faith. Is it possible that you can get your needs met, your wants fulfilled through your relationship with God? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I was curious about that word want because sometimes we read English words and think what they mean. So it's good to look back sometimes to the original language. That's from Hebrew. And the word is not chaser, which you might be reading there. It's kasser. But you can say chaser because that makes more sense to want. It means to lack, implications to fail. To want, to have less, to be abated, as in like water's going out, to go to a lesser place, to decrease, to fail, to make lower, to want. See, what I loved about this word is that the want grows when there is a gap opening up. Whenever you feel like there's less, I feel less special, I feel less respected, I feel less purposeful, I feel less. That want that grows there is what provokes our excitement, our need, our change. That's what gets us up out of the green pasture and makes us run, and the shepherd has to chase us again. You see, the want is what drives humanity towards sin. But the Lord has to remind people. This word, chaser, is used in Deuteronomy 2:7. And the Lord speaks to the people and says, the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. And he knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You've lacked nothing. If you can just take a moment right now and just reflect. and all of the craving and all of the need and all of the less and all the want of your life and all of your solutions, who is it that really took care of you? Who guided you? Who helped you? Who saw the future before you ever got to it and planned for it? Who cares for you? And the Lord says, you guys, you've never lacked anything. The whole time I was with you, even in the wilderness of coronavirus, I was there and you didn't lack anything. Maybe you need to notice that God's with you. I mean, the other way that he uses this word want again in the book of Deuteronomy is when he's talking about other people. He says, if among you one of your brothers should become poor, if any of your towns within your land that the Lord your God is giving you, don't harden your heart or shut up your hand against your poor brother, but open your hand to him and lend him sufficient for his kasur, whatever it may be. Okay. We become agents of God when we become the want satisfiers of others. I mean, there could be people in your world that don't feel loved. And there is this gap opening up in their life that's causing this craving. You can just call them. You can just send them an email. You could send them a letter. You could send them a gift. You could be there. You could tell them why they're special. Or maybe there's people that are lacking respect. You could honor them. You could respect them. You could revere them. Or you could even ask them for help. There are people in this world who love that. Maybe there's people, they're wondering why they even bother, why they're alive. And you could give them meaning. Maybe there's people who don't feel safe. Maybe they don't have enough physical needs. And all you have to do is answer a few of their physical problems and suddenly the want gap closes and they feel fine. You see, God's made us to be co-shepherds with him. Whatever his need is, don't close your heart. Whatever it is. Of course, I think the big answer is where Jesus showed us the way to be sheep. He is the great shepherd, but he showed us the way of the sheep. You know, there's this time when Jesus was pressurized by Satan. God allowed it. He was led by the Spirit into this place where he was pushed to his limit. In that time, he devoted himself to God in prayer and fasting and just was with God. And when he was ready, Satan came. He pressurized him. You shouldn't have to have this lack of food. You shouldn't have to have this worries about your security. And Jesus answers every time with the word, you're not seeing the world through God's lens. You're seeing it through your own satanic way. In the last temptation, the devil takes him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, I will give you all of these if you just fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. You know, some people wonder about the place of God. They sometimes feel like, why does God demand my submission? Why do I have to follow him? Why do I have to serve God? It's a complete messed up way of looking at the world. But a lot of people have it. They struggle to release the control of their lives and give it over to God and become devoted to him rather than themselves. Who is Lord of your life? And Jesus says, I don't need the control. What I need is the submission. What I need is the servant-heartedness to God to say, God, okay, I trust you. I will serve you and you will take care of me. You see, Satan thinks that the way out of your wants is to take control of your life. And if Satan offers you the ability to, with the tempted to have this thing, tempted to do that thing, tempted with that opportunity, tempted to solve the problem yourself, if he gave you all the problems, would your life be good? Or would the gap of wants just open wider? You see, Satan wants us a distant, he wants us away from God. He doesn't want us with God. He tries to say to Jesus, if you just take control, and my friends, you might be feeling this right now, this urge to do something, or this urge to get out there and solve the problem, this urge to do. Don't respond to the human solutions for your problem. Right now, you can activate your faith instead, and you can receive by faith the things that you need. An honest prayer of saying to God, God, I'm feeling insecure. God, I'm feeling unsafe. Father, I feel like I'm not loved. I'm not special. Father, I don't know why I'm here. When you pray those prayers expecting his answer, and you worship him and submit to him and say, God, I trust you, then you'll find that your needs are met. So when I was in my rage about how disrespected I felt, even though nobody was doing it to me, when I was feeling insecure, and I saw that ugliness inside of me, I thought, I need to go to God for this. So my conversation then was with God, God, why do I have these needs? And because we're doing some like testing on different things, I realized that I'm kind of this number five on an Enneagram. I like to have all the resources. I like to have all of the things in my hands. And God, and the truth is that that's just the way that I have learned to be. It's not the real me. The real me is Joe, the Son of God, taken care of by the shepherd, loved and protected. And I don't need those things to become more okay. And I learned that there's other people like me who also need respect. And so I chose instead to give respect, because I felt secure. I chose to build up the people around me rather than to accuse them from not giving me enough. And when I invested in others, they became greater. But I could only do that because I knew God had me. And so I let go. What do you need to give? What do you need to give away as a sign that you are trusting God for? Remember, needs are different. It's not money all the time. It could be emotional, it could be spiritual, it could be psychological, it could be care, it could be practical. In what way can you help another need? Because God is your shepherd and your wants are taken care of. Why don't we pray together as we just settle our hearts before God and let him, by his Spirit, draw us towards him for every solution and every need in our lives. Father, today we thank you that you are the good shepherd. And because of your presence in our lives, we don't want. In fact, every time we recognize how good you are, the sort of the desires that are unhealthy, the needs that are unmotivated and unreal, they begin to evaporate because you are caring for us so unconditionally and so proactively and so all-encompassingly that we know that we're safe with you. So help us, Father, today, through faith, to put our confidence and our trust back in you. I pray, Father, for every person that is listening to my voice now, that you would draw their heart's attention towards your presence and that you would turn their hearts into a trusting relationship with you. I want you to just say this in your prayers right now. Maybe you're at home, you want to say this quietly. Maybe you're in a group, you can just say it out loud if you want. We're just going to say that line. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus, I pray that you secure that promise into our hearts through your Holy Spirit's power and that you'd secure all of us to become trusting in you and more generous towards others. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. And if you would like to know more about our service times, locations, or to subscribe to our podcast, head over to our website, hopecentral.org.au, for any further information.